Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
In this message, dear friends, with God's Word, Hebrews 11, especially as our basis, our theme is true faith encouragement. Hebrews 11 gives many examples of men and women of true faith in Bible history. And the word faith is mentioned at least 24 times in this one chapter. In preaching now about this subject of true faith, the intention is to call and encourage all people in the way of true Christian faith. From our text passage, will you consider with me then the five following points in promotion of true faith encouragement? For our first point, let us realize the importance of true faith in God. Surely Hebrews 11 brings out the importance of true faith. Not only is the word faith mentioned so many times, and we are given many examples of believers in the past who triumphed through faith, but notice too what is actually said in verse 6 of Hebrews 11. What do we read there? Listen, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It is not that faith saves anyone. No, but true faith is the means, the instrument, by which we embrace the Savior of sinners, calling on him to be our Savior, your and my Savior, to save us also from all our sins and sinfulness. Throughout this chapter, we see how believers of the past triumphed by God-given faith, or through God-given faith, or in God-given faith. When verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God," it is stating most strongly and emphatically, being saved and a true Christian means living in humble, hearty reliance on the Lord and his gospel word. If there is no faith in God and his word, you can't be saved and won't be saved. It is by the means of faith that we are linked together with, or connected with, or joined in union with God in Christ and all his gospel promises. Not believing is like not having the plug in the outlet and being left without power, or leaving the hose unattached to the tap and just keeping the tap closed instead of open. What Hebrews 11 teaches, and especially also verse 6, about the importance of faith is what is asserted most clearly to in the faithful Bible-based Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7. After teaching from Scripture in the previous six Lord's Day lessons about the only comfort in life and death of belonging to Christ, and showing how deep and serious is our fall and depravity and sin of ourselves, and how Jesus Christ alone is the only Savior for sinners like us, the Catechism brings out the absolute necessity of true faith in him to be saved. So question and answer 20 states, "Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ?" Answer, no. Only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. You hear and see right away with this how important is true faith in Christ. Without true faith worked by God's Spirit through the gospel word, well then, Christ never becomes part of you, really, and you are not engrafted into him as branch of the living vine, with Jesus as your only Savior and Lord. People without true faith stay in their sins, and if you or anyone lives on and dies never having true faith, well then, you perish in your sin, and you die unsaved. And you won't go to heaven, but to hell. Oh, how relevant to say this today still. In our times, increasingly, you will hear voices and teachings that suggest everyone will go to a better place when they die, and God would never send anyone to hell. There are those, too, who teach and preach Jesus died for all people. And in the end, just because Jesus suffered and died on the cross for sinners, well, we are all better off now. The gospel message with the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, people say, is simply this, that the once angry God is appeased now and at peace with all mankind, and out of his pity and love, all will be saved, regardless what a person believes or how a person lives and dies. But all these ideas are false, you need to know, and not according to the Bible. Dear friends, the importance of true faith in Christ cannot be stressed enough as essential to salvation. Jesus said in John 3, verse 36, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides or remains on him." One of the proof texts for the emphatic teaching of question and answer 20 of the Catechism is also Hebrews 10, verse 39. There, the Holy Spirit-inspired author of Hebrews writes to Christians living by true faith, "But we are not of them that draw back," in unbelief he means, "unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So the importance of true faith is indisputable and unquestionable and non-negotiable. It drives home the earnest question then too, do you have true faith? Are you living day by day in the way of true faith in God? This is a question not just for us when we get older, but also when younger. Since it is the case that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, I ask you, are you living in true faith even today? Do you see how the sermon is not meant just to teach facts about true faith, but to promote true faith, and indeed give now true faith encouragements? We learned this not just from our first point about the importance of true faith, but consider our second point, which follows from the first, really. And that is, what are the ingredients of true faith? If true faith is so important, what is true faith? And again, looking at our text chapter, does it not bring out true faith involves knowing something of the true God and relying on him as he has revealed himself to us? True faith is knowledge of God and trust in God and following after God as revealed to us in his word. All the examples of living by true faith that Hebrews chapter 11 mentions were people who learned about God from his revelation to them, and then they depended on what God taught them about himself and his will and his promises and acted accordingly. This is what led Abel to offer a God-honoring sacrifice to the Lord, something Cain did not do. So Noah also built the ark and did not listen to the voices of all around him in the wicked world of his times, but he listened rather to God and acted in faith in what the Lord said would happen. We could go through all the examples in this way, but think just yet of Moses in Egypt. Moses, though raised a prince in the palace of Pharaoh, he nevertheless followed after the Lord and would be identified with the people of Israel and rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because, you see, in true faith he knew what the God of Israel had said and promised, and he had confidence in that God and his promises, choosing thus to follow the Lord and not the world of his time. True faith is not just knowing something about God without trusting and following the Lord. Neither is true faith trusting God without knowing of him and about him. True faith is not at all just a blind leap in the dark, as some want to tell us, but rather it is confiding in and giving yourself over to the one true God of whom you know from Scripture great and glorious gospel truths. Because God is gracious and forgiving and faithful and true to all his gospel promises, trusting and relying on him is something most reasonable and wise for sure. In fact, when knowing about the one true God as revealed in the Bible and in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, of whom the whole Bible speaks from cover to cover, and still not trusting in him with true faith, oh, that is simply the greatest mistake anyone can ever make. Trusting Jesus, as he is declared and made known to us in the Holy Bible, is not a risky matter whatsoever, but a most reliable matter, now and forevermore. Knowing and trusting the gospel message is being given by God's grace to live not by sight, but by faith, and having in your possession, in your minds and hearts, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Abraham could offer up thus Isaac, his long-promised son and heir, because he knew in faith God would take care to fulfill his promises, even if it meant raising Isaac again from the dead. True faith always involves knowing God is so trustworthy to all his word and promises, and therefore wholly trusting in him then too. Clearly, too, in true faith, the object of trust is in particular God as he has revealed himself in Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Do you know why this is the case, too? Well, for two reasons at least. For one, our true knowledge of God is most revealed in and with Christ, the Savior. Paul says thus in Colossians 1, verse 15 and 19, that in and with Christ we have the image of the invisible God, and that it pleased the Father that in him, Christ Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And Jesus himself said, I and my Father are one, and he that has seen me hath seen the Father. John 10, verse 30, and John 14, verse 9 to 11. Plus, in Hebrews 1, it is explicitly stated that in and with Jesus the Savior, we are shown the brightness of God's glory. But then secondly, the Bible makes so clear as well that in and with Christ and him crucified and raised the third day as triumphant Savior of sinners, we have the perfect fulfillment of all God's promises and the infinite reliability of him as only Savior and Lord. If you want to know how trustworthy the Lord is, look to Jesus Christ and him crucified on Golgotha. If you want to know how trustworthy the Lord God is and his word, look to Christ Jesus and him crucified on Golgotha. Yes, behold, in and with Christ crucified and risen again, how God triune is so true to all his gospel promises. Through Christ's suffering and perfect sacrifice for sin in the sinner's place, now all the salvation of God is freely offered and guaranteed for all who repent of sin and trust and follow him. As Paul states in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him, that is, in Jesus Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Our text passage from Hebrews 11 and into chapter 12 brings out also how true faith focuses in particular and ultimately on the Savior, calling us ever to look unto Jesus, who so gave himself to save undeserving sinners like us, and who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. The ingredients of true faith is knowledge of God in Christ Jesus and humble, repentant, hearty, thankful reliance upon this only Savior and Lord. This is what guided the numberless cloud of witnesses who have gone before us in true faith, and it is what leads Christians onwards now in true faith. So here again, dear friends, considering this all, are you living in true faith? And does it show especially also in personal awareness and appreciation and appetite for the ingredients of true faith? That of true knowledge of God and hearty confidence in him and following after him and his word then as only Savior and Lord. Here it is good to repeat the Bible-based instruction on true faith as laid out also in question and answer 21 of the Heidelberg Catechism. What is true faith? Is the all-important question there. And the Bible faithful answer is, as given in the Catechism, true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Spirit works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Oh, what a true and beautiful description of true faith this is, so good to know and to seek to live by too. Again, then, I ask you in Jesus' name now, is this something you can speak of for yourself as well? Is knowledge of God and reliance on Him and humble dependency on Christ and hearty following after the Savior and His Word something real and an exercise also in your life? Our text, chapter, and catechism lesson would say, this is what describes the true Christian and the real pilgrims to the eternal city. So we read thus in verse 3 of Hebrews 11, speaking of the believing patriarchs, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews 11 also mentions over against the true believers, people without true faith, like Cain, and the vast majority in Noah's day, who wouldn't believe, and like Esau, who wouldn't believe, and the Egyptians, and so many more, who living and dying in unbelief, perished in their sins, and without hope and help in the last judgment day, and reserved now for everlasting darkness. But you see, the call of this faith chapter is not so to live and die, no, but to live and die in true faith, and to run the race ever looking to Jesus. Is this what you are doing too, and pray to do day by day? Oh, don't deceive yourself in assuming you have true faith when the ingredients of true faith are not something you accept and approve. If I would give you the recipe for making a chocolate cake, but you don't use the ingredients recommended, you won't get the chocolate cake the recipe promises. Likewise, and in a far higher way with true faith, if we desire it and will live in true faith, let us take the ingredients described just now to heart, and we will not be put to shame. Yes, coming to our third main point in promotion of true faith encouragement, notice next the impact of true faith. Clearly from the text chapter we learn from Hebrews 11 how living in true faith really impacts life and how a person lives. When you live in true faith, you believe God created the whole world, as described in Genesis 1 and 2. And you don't go by what people say or like to believe, but by what God's Word says. Living in true faith, too, you don't go by appearances and what we may think about anything, but God and His Word is your guide then and your authority in life. Also in connection with the whole way of salvation and what is true religion and what is true faith. Isn't this what led Noah to build the ark, though waiting 120 years before rainfall? Isn't this what guided Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in their pilgrimage in life? Sarah, we're told in Hebrews 11, didn't go by her old age and worn-out body when told she would have a child yet, but she acted and lived in faith in God's promises and wasn't put to shame. Likewise, in faith, living in faith, helped believers set their priorities right, you see, and be willing to stand alone and be willing to suffer and even to die for the faith. For they knew God would be true to His promises, regardless of appearances and obstacles. Living by true faith has, by God's grace and Spirit, practical everyday impact, showing itself in loving God above all and loving our neighbor. Faith without works is dead, James says in James 2, verse 17. It's not true faith. And Paul says likewise in Galatians 5, verse 6. True faith, he says there, works by love. Hebrews chapter 11 records for us how the heroes of faith by God's grace endured so much and persevered so triumphantly as pilgrims and strangers here on earth, living all out for God and good, regardless the cost and the opposition, not accepting deliverance in the way of sin and self and unbelief in this world, that they might obtain a better resurrection, as stated in verse 35. These true faith heroes cast not away their confidence in God, as mentioned in Hebrews 10, verse 35, always keeping in mind and heart, rather, the recompense of the reward promised by God, all of grace, through faith alone, in God alone, as revealed in Christ Jesus alone, the one and only Savior of sinners. The Hebrews 11 faith chapter makes so clear then, you see, when you have and live in true faith, it can't help but be noticed in the life you live. A true Christian living in true faith doesn't remain someone anonymous, but it becomes noticeable in all kinds of ways, especially in the way of a humble attitude before God and others, and a loving mindset before God and others, and an adherence and respect for God and His Word and His glory and honor above all in your life. You know then and show then this world is not your home, and you look for and live for a better country and for that eternal city, which, as Hebrews 11 mentions, has foundations whose builder and maker is God. And then you esteem with Moses the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Well, again, dear friends, does the life of true faith so impact you too, living today in our 21st century world? Do you glory in Christ and rejoice in company with His people and treasure the worship of God as greatest highlights in this life every week again? Do your convictions and viewpoints in life reflect not the spirit of this ungodly world, but the truth of God's Word and the honor of His truth and grace and glory in and through Christ Jesus? True faith has holy and sanctifying impact in all our life by God's Spirit and Word, and where that is not so, should it not bring us to true repentance? Is not, in fact, the life of true faith and hearty and repeated ever-deepening repentance from sin also most intimately linked together? You don't have true faith if it doesn't also result in the fighting, the good fight of faith, as Paul speaks of that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the life of true faith, you and I are in daily battle against sinful self by nature, and Satan, our relentless enemy, who's ever opposed to true faith. And we are in battle against this ungodly world, always aiming to distract us and lead us astray from the way of true faith. When you and I live in true faith, we believe with heart and soul and in all our life what God's Word says and teaches us. And that has holy impact in all we think and say and do then. Saying all this again in true faith encouragement, isn't it good to examine ourselves, asking, do I have true faith? And am I living in true faith as described and modeled in Hebrews 11 and as taught in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7? Paul exhorts in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, saying, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. And such self-examination, wonderfully, is never meant to be done in a vacuum or in self-despair, but in the way of true faith itself. In other words, it is never negative to ask whether you are living in true faith, because it is in the context of the gospel message that God will so lead us truly and increasingly, even as we ever look to Him and call out to Him. Here we come also to our fourth point in regards to true faith. We have considered the importance of true faith, the ingredients of true faith, the impact of true faith. Notice next the initiator and preserver of true faith. The initiator and preserver. Would you not agree with me that the whole of Hebrews 11 and 12 is like a grand, gracious, earnest call of the Lord to look to God for true faith initially and continually? Faith is a gift of God, and not something of ourselves, Paul tells us emphatically in Ephesians 2. And this means it is not something you and I can ever work up from within ourselves and by ourselves. And the good news is no one has to do so either. No, for the gospel tidings are God works faith by his Holy Spirit through his gospel word, and he freely also gives this gift of true faith and growing faith and strong faith and steadfast faith in God and his word and all his salvation provision for us in and through Christ Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, says Paul also in Romans 10, verse 17. So now as you run the race of life, the call is ever to look to the Savior God, for the beginnings of true faith and for the increase of true faith and the perseverance in true faith till journey's end. If you desire true faith, ask God for it and read his word to learn the way of true faith. And as you pray, God will hear. The sincere desire for true faith is of the Lord by his Spirit and word. And such prayer in Jesus' name, the Lord will surely hear. Indeed, coming to our fifth and last point of this sermon, we have the ongoing invitation from the Lord ever to look to God in all the challenges and struggles of life, also in the life of faith. And God in Jesus' name will take care of us. He will keep you and me in his gospel way and lead us onward, forward, upward, and heavenward in his grace and mercy and everlasting faithfulness to his people. You and I may draw from Christ, the Savior, the crucified and risen Redeemer. We may draw from him ceaselessly, and there is endless supply of his divine Spirit and his divine strength and his divine salvation and his divine promises to have us live and die triumphantly in the way of true faith. The ultimate strength and unique power indeed of true Christian faith is the object of our faith, God triune, as revealed in Christ Jesus and his word. And truly, dear friends, in and through him, we are made more than conquerors in the way of everlasting salvation. Ever trusting him, looking to him, calling upon him. True faith encouragements, considering the importance of true faith, the ingredients of true faith, the impact of true faith, the initiator of true faith, and the invitation of true faith. Oh, if you have not yet ever truly believed the gospel of Jesus Christ in true faith, why not ask to be led in true faith today? Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.